Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
There you are. Now I see you. There you are, Peter. That's from a movie. Hook. You ever see that movie? Charles, that's what me and Charlotte say now. Like when I haven't seen her all day, I said, there you are, Peter. It's our, whatever. Okay, let me just get on with what we're doing here. I'm awake. How about you? Yeah, all right. Good. God is good, isn't he? All the time. Yeah, that's what Grant says, right? How good is God? That's right. He's so good. Last year, 2019, every moment matters, so. And then this year, because every moment matters, leave no doubt. Leave no doubt who you are. Leave no doubt whose you are. Leave people better than you found them. Our mission that gets us to the vehicle, that gets us to the vision that God has given us, to worship God with all our heart, soul, and mind, to grow in Christ by lifting each other up, discipling each other, and engaging the world, starting here and moving out for the glory and the name of Christ. That's our vision. And then how we get there is our mission, right? And we were made for mission. This whole series, and today is the last installment of this series, that we were made for mission. The first part was to open it all up about leave no doubt whose you are. Do you really want people to know that you love Jesus? Then he should be seen in everything you do and everything you say. And every day matters. It's just not a part-time thing. You're not a part-time believer, right? You're not a part-time Christian. Every day, every moment matters how you reflect Christ. Now, myself included, I can look back and say, I didn't do that very well in some moments of my day. I didn't reflect Christ very well. Matter of fact, I probably need to go repent for that, what I just did. That has to be in our mind too. And then last week we talked about everyone matters. That our view can't be so narrow that we don't see. We have to have a peripheral view of people because God loves all people. And God believes that all people can come back. And if we believe in God and we believe that he is holy, 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 if we believe that he can do all things, that he is sovereign over things, then we over everything, then we have to believe that he can bring people back. And if we believe what God believes, and we are for God, and we live for God, then we'll do the same thing. But today, in closing the message, it's about the application of that, of you and of me, and how we need to be as we enter into this. Because you know what? Here's the theme for this message today. In order for God to increase, that's our scripture verse. Would you put that up there, Grayson? For God to increase, John 3:30. It's there, right? Is it there? He doesn't have it, but I'm just going to say it to you because you know it. John 3:30. He must increase and we must decrease. In order for that to happen, people, wait for it. We're going to have to change. We're going to have to change some things about the way we behave, the way we speak, the way we think. We have to, because God doesn't have to change. God is God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know what? We need him to be that way, right? We need him because we're not. And so for God to increase, and we're going to talk about ways that that can happen in your life, but it's up between you and God, but we're going to talk about that application today a little bit. You have to be on board that if God is who he says he is, and I believe that for him to increase in my life, I've got to get rid of some of me. I've got to empty out me, and I've got to fill myself with God. In order for that to happen, change must occur. And not just any change, right? Remember those questions we gave out at the beginning of the series you were supposed to pick up and look at? 31 questions that you can take and read and evaluate. Answer these questions. We're going to talk about those at the end, at the very end of the service. And you're going to participate in it a little bit. Now you're scared, I bet. But I might call on you. You better be ready. You better be listening. You better be thinking here. I won't call on any visitors, okay? But I might call on someone else or might let you volunteer. We are almost assured, church, that there are necessary changes in each of our lives for God to increase. And here's what I believe about this, that when God increases and we decrease, when we get filled up with God and are doing more God things and thinking more God things, and he's becoming the forefront and people are seeing him and we're giving him the glory, guess what I believe that happens? I believe that we actually increase when we put ourselves and put God in the right place. Because scripture says that when we do that, God wants to give good things to his children. God wants to lift us up when we make ourselves low. God wants to promote us. God wants to work through us and bring him glory. And that can only be good for everybody. So I believe that when we live our lives for God to increase, and we're intentional, not just happenstance, but intentional about decreasing, then I believe we actually have an increase in our lives because we get more of God. And how much better it can be to have more of God, right? For God to increase, we have to change and be focused less on our desires, our dreams, our opinions, and be more focused on God's for us. Because he has a plan and a purpose for each of us. Because remember, we are no longer owners, right? When you trusted Jesus as your Savior, you said, Lord, come in and live my life for me. How many of you have taken it back? I have at times. But you see, we're no longer in ownership. We're in management. And so the managers go see what the owners want to do, right? And then the managers walk it out. The managers do what the owners want them to do. If you've been in business, you know this. But sometimes we as managers, well, I know more than the owner does. Well, I know more than my boss does. I think I'll just do this and, you know, I'll just keep it low key. And when we prosper, then I'll be able to step and say, I did that because you couldn't do it. You do that with God and it won't be good. Change and transformation is necessary in our lives for God to increase. Something has got to change for God to come in and take over more. So how do we do that? We ask God to help because we can't do it on our own. Ephesians 1, 17 through 19 says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Listen to this. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. We just sang, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. How many of you want to see God in your life? How many? Well, just a couple of us want to see God in our lives, right? We all want to see God in our lives operating, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. I want to know that. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? I want that. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? I want that, according to the work of his great might. Have you ever prayed to God to open your eyes or have your eyes of your heart enlightened to see where you need to change or transform or surrender or grow? Have you specifically said that to God? God, show me so I can do it. And then didn't do it? I've been there too. It's like, well, God, that's not exactly what I was thinking of. I had something else in mind. But I wanted to hear you say it so I could confirm it and then do it. But God's plan of change in our lives can be so radically different than what we think. Some are hesitant to do that because they aren't ready for the answer. You're not ready for what God's going to say. Or they think they might know what God will say and they don't want to do the work or give up what God might ask of them. Maybe you have an inkling, you ever have an impression or in your life that I probably don't need to be doing that anymore. Or I probably don't need to have that anymore. I probably don't need to be saying that or have that attitude anymore. But you continue on with it. And you don't ask God to help because you don't want to do the work. How do you feel about all of that? Asking God to evaluate you and give you recommendations. What if we all prayed this scripture to God? Psalm 139, you just heard it on the screen. 23 and 24. God, search me and know my heart. Test me, God, and know my anxious thoughts. God, see if there's any offensive way in me, and please lead me in the way of everlasting. Have you ever just pleaded that with God? Like you got to the point, says, God, I want to change. I need to change, and I'm on board with change. I know my behavior needs to change. I know I need to do this so that you can become more in my life. God, what do I need to do? And then be okay with what he says. Today is about evaluating, asking God to help us, and even asking our friends, if so be you trust them, to help you. But then evaluate, adjudicate. Anybody know what that means? Adjudicate. It means to agree with. It means to get on board with. So once we have the evaluation, it's agreeing with God that this must happen. Agreeing with God, getting on board with what God thinks, and then initiate. Evaluate, adjudicate, and then initiate. It means there's an action here, that it's got to happen and you're involved. And it's not going to happen unless you start the process. When one evaluates something, they are making a judgment, one that most likely results in some degree of analysis. And we are asking God to draw conclusions after examining our hearts, after examining our behaviors, after examining our inmost thoughts. You ever have a thought that you was inside and you were glad that nobody heard it? Or have you ever said, oh, did I say that out loud? We should know that God knows us most intimately better than we know ourselves, and he already knows what we thought. Psalm 139, at the beginning of that psalm, says, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. You see, we're giving God the glory. We're giving him the supremacy, the sovereignty, because that's who he is, and that's what he displays. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. We understand that God is in his place, and we're in our place, and it never switches. We need to get on board with that. He is God always, and we are not always. And so he has the information and the know-how to get us where we need to go, and we have to get on board with that. Can you get on board that God knows you better than you know yourself? Can you adjudicate or agree with God on the outcome of the evaluation that you've asked him to perform in your life? Ecclesiastes 8 says this, then I saw all that God has done. No one can comprehend what goes on under the sun. Despite all their efforts to search it out, no one can discover its meaning. Listen to this. Even if the wise claim they know, they cannot really comprehend it. Does anybody in here feel like they're know-it-all? Does anybody in here have people in your life that think you're a know-it-all? Maybe that's what. No pointing fingers, Engel. We all feel like we know the answers, or we want people to think that we know the answers. That we don't want to say to anybody, well, I don't know that. Well, I know what's best. But in true reality, when we compare our knowledge and our understanding to God, we don't come close. Because God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And when God operates this way and this way, it doesn't mean that he's going to operate the same way over here. Because he's God and he gets the right to change it up and do what he wants to do. And we have to walk in faith, knowing that he knows what he's doing, because he does. And after evaluation is done and the final assessment is completed, there is a consenting or agreeing with the evaluation. And then the plan or goals to be made, and then a decision on how best to reach these goals. The mission, if you will. The mission is the vehicle to get us to accomplish the vision. But there's another step. If not put into motion, the rest doesn't really matter. These goals, this mission, can only be realized by initiation or implementation. Obedience is what God has opened the eyes of our heart to do, to make transformation possible. Transformation doesn't just happen if we just stand here and do nothing. We have to participate. A few months ago, our house is 20 years old now, and a few months ago, the seals around the window, the front of the house, unbeknownst to me, were not good anymore. And so I come in and I see that there's water on the windowsill inside the house after a rain. And I'm going, oh, I'll just dry it up. And I go on my business, just dry it up. And a few weeks later, it rained again and there's more water on the window. So I said, oh, I better look at this now. I get to the window and on the inside seal in the corner, I start, it's discolored there a little bit. And so I go down and touch it and my finger goes through the windowsill. I go, oh, my goodness. I'm not a very good homeowner. I'm usually pretty good about this stuff, preventive maintenance on my house, but I didn't see this coming. So I looked at what the problem was, and I saw what the problem was, the water getting in. I fixed that, but now I got to fix the windowsill. I'm telling you, it's a space about like this on the windowsill that is soft and mushy. And I poked my finger all the way through. So it's been there for a while. So I'm trying to think of the best way to fix it. Okay, do I take the boards out, pull it out? I got to thinking, it's right against the brick. It's like, that is going to be a job. And that's a professional. That's not me. And so I think about, how can I fix this? And I know there's patches that you could put on stuff like this, but it's pretty deep. And so I start digging. Dig all the bad wood out. It goes up the side a little bit. It goes underneath a little bit. And I'm telling you, it is a big space. So I said, what am I going to do? I can't afford to have somebody come in and replace my whole windowsill. So I go to my buddy's store, Home Depot, and I start looking. So there's a resin and an epoxy that you have to mix together. And when you mix it together and you add the hardener, it hardens, but you got to work quick. Anybody ever worked with that kind of stuff? So it's a process, but it works. And you put some in there, and then it hardens so much you can sand it. It's not real wood, but you can sand it, and then you put some more in there. Okay, so over these weeks' process, it took me a month to get it done because you have to let it dry, and then you go in and sand, and then you put some more in, and now you can't even tell it wasn't even there. And I said, thank you, Lord. But here's the point. If I had just taken part of it and stuck it in there, it wouldn't have done what it was supposed to do. I had to add the hardener for it to harden and do what it was supposed to do in order for me to take the next step. When you know what it is you need to do, when God's evaluated and you say, okay, God, I can get on board with that, the next step is to do it. Because what needs to happen in our lives doesn't happen unless the activator is implemented, and that's obedience. If we are not obedient to what we're called to do to make the change, changes don't happen. What's supposed to happen, what we've said God we know that needs to happen, even though it's hard, if I don't go and do it, if I'm not obedient in it, it doesn't happen. The obedience is the activator in getting done. Behavior change, mind change, heart change. So we can decrease so that God can increase, and that his kingdom comes on earth. through you. You're not responsible for somebody else. Only in light of, I'm my brother's keeper. So if my brother's messing up, I have that. But I can't do it for my brother. I can't do it for my sister. I can only do for me and then walk and let God do the rest. God must increase and we must decrease. Church, we must, I came across these three words and I love that they came together in the agreement. We must concur, we must comply, and we must concede that implementation after evaluation is necessary for transformation. I said this quote here a few weeks ago, but it's appropriate for today. See, we can think a lot about changing, but thinking about it is only just thinking, right? Thinking shifts thinking. We get new ideas all the time. Oh, you know what? I hadn't thought about it like that. I think I like to think about it like that. When you get new ideas. But systems shift behavior. There's a process. After I think about it, what are my goals? These are the goals. These are reachable goals. And now I must be obedient and walk out the goals in order for my behavior to change. And you know what's a great time to do that? In a 21-day prayer and fasting that we're about to embark on. To build some of these things every day into your life that need to change. And guess what? They become habits. They become second nature. You're changing. You're changing into who God wants you to be. He's increasing in your life because you've gotten on board with his evaluation. And together you've set the goals and now you're walking in it. And you know what else? Our obedience is worship to God. Because we're saying to God that I believe your sovereignty. I believe you know better. And I'm going to operate that way. You are a new creation, people. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. One of my favorite authors right now is Bob Goff. And I've got a devotional that Charlotte got me for Christmas. Bob Goff, sayings from all his books and everything. And there's this one in there, it says, and it's great. It's perfect for this part of the message. It says, we can't be new creations if everything stays the same. We can't be new creations if everything stays the same. Our identity in Christ involves people. Friendship and hospitality are central to our new identity, and we can't welcome people into our lives if we're too busy to be available to them. Maybe the thing that needs to change is you got to be more available to your neighbor, to your people, to people in your life. If your schedule robs you of joy of simply being fully present with the people you love, and remember, we are called to love everyone, thank you, then it's probably time to quit something or change something. In other words, something for you to be available to more people, to share your life, to share the gospel, then something's got to change in your schedule. Something has got to change in your thought process. Like, you have to think about it more. I have to think about more people in my life. I have to sit down and say, Lord, you know, so-and-so is at my job. I have never talked to them about you, Lord. I need to orchestrate a way to have a connection with them at work and find out about them and let them know about me. I need to build a bridge. And you actually think about it. We need each other to help us with the change that needs to occur for God to increase. I can't do it by myself. I need people to help me. You can't do it by yourself, no matter what you think. You can't do it by yourself. When people are important, we actually live out the greatest commandment, too. Because in making people important, which is the second greatest commandment, right? We're actually worshiping God and making him who he is supposed to be in our life first. Worshiping him with all our might and power and heart and all of that. When we're doing the second, when we're actually also doing the first one. And that pleases God so much. We love God by loving people because people are the most important thing to God. We must move from thinking it's important, though, to acting like it's important. If that's something that's got to change in your life, if God has showed you that, then you build a way to do that. And then you do it. I love the game Monopoly. Anybody else like Monopoly? I love the game of Monopoly. But it started way back when I was a kid. My mom, there was four of us, and she wanted to get rid of two of us every summer. Me and my brother would go and stay at our uncle's house. And we would spend a couple weeks. And my cousin Brian, who was about 5 years older than me, he loved to play Monopoly. And he taught us how to play Monopoly. Well, the real reason I wanted to play Monopoly is because when we went to my uncle's house, I got to stay up as late as I wanted. So Monopoly, we start. And if you know anything about Monopoly, you can go on and on and on till the break of dawn. You got that. Yeah. So we got to stay up late, but I learned to love Monopoly. But here's the thing about Monopoly. There's strategy in Monopoly. And there are good properties, and there are not so good properties. It depends on what your goals are. Anybody know what the cheapest properties in Monopoly are? Very good. Baltic, and we need to get together. We need to play Monopoly. If you got Baltic and Mediterranean, you're not going anywhere. Okay, they're okay. They're great for trading, you know. It's like if someone's losing some money, they want to gain a little bit of rent, I'm saying they're doing badly, it's a good trade-off to do something like this. So that's really what they're good for. But if you really want to make some money, if you really want to make an impact, you got to take a risk, right? And so what are the best properties? Boardwalk and Park Place. Right on. But you know what? Boardwalk and Park Place, that's a risk taker. Because even though it costs a lot to have them, it costs a lot to put houses on them, it costs a lot to put hotels on them, you could also lose your shirt on them too. And they can get taken right out from under you. Because someone just might have a better strategy than you do. You know, with some of the things that God asks us to do in our lives, he's asking us to trust him and take a risk. He's asking us to trust him and walk in faith that he knows what he's talking about. It doesn't work out and compute in our minds. We can write it down on paper and we say, this doesn't work. Like putting two churches together. When we looked at paper, it didn't work on paper. But we had spiritual leadership that was in unanimous agreement that this is what God is asking us to do. And we have to walk it out, whatever the steps are to do it, so that we can honor God. See, God will give us things that, I'm not asking you to do this because you can do it. I'm asking you to do this because you can only do it with my help. And you see, that's where we all need to live. There should be things in our lives that we can't accomplish on our own, because then we take the glory for it. We say, look at me, I did this. That's not the way that God increases in our life. That's the way that we increase ourselves more. God says, I want you to change in ways that you can only do with my help. Please trust me. It will be hard. The road, some of the steps will be hard. But you know what? I'm going to be with you. And if you stumble, I'll pick you up and dust you off. And I'll help you take the next step. But you have to trust me in this, and you have to see it through. Because, you know, some of us give up on the journey. Some of us say, it's too hard, and I need to take a break. And some of us take so long of a break that we never get back to the journey. God will give us rest and retreat when it's time. But let him be the determiner of that. There's a big risk in making plans and goals that can only happen if God is involved. It will take greater faith, greater commitment, and greater hope. You need that. Church, the Fountain Church needs that from you. We need that kind of faith. We need that kind of commitment. We need that kind of hope to do what God is calling us to do. Changed people means a church that's open to change. A church that's open to change is a church that is growing spiritually and otherwise. So let's evaluate our lives. Let's make plans and goals and live this new year with a biblical diligence, Remembering, as Proverbs says in Proverbs 21, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes to poverty. That means don't get ahead of God. John 15 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We want to do things that we can't do on our own without God's help. Because what kind of faith is that? What kind of hope is that if we only do things that we know we can accomplish, that we've already seen done, and now we're going to do it? That's no hope at all. We've got big plans that can only happen if we get on board with the vision that God has given us. But sometimes, and I have to acknowledge this, change in our lives comes from happenstance. Sometimes change is forced on us and we don't know it's coming, right? We've all been there. Unexpected and unprepared and unplanned. There are times in life you are faced with change regardless of if you want it or not. Losing a job. Your last child moves away from home. For some, that might be welcome change. Or the death of an immediate family member. You know, Miss Sarah Claiborne had that happen to her a couple weeks ago. Many of you know, you've heard the things. We've got her funeral, or her husband's funeral, right after the service day here at the church. And, she was up, they were up in Boston to get a second opinion. And Brother Ivy took a turn for the worst, and he died up there. Fortunately, her daughter was with her, came in from New York and was with her the whole time. But Miss Sarah is so grateful and feels so blessed that God is working all things for her good in this trying time for her. Some of these changes come, and we don't know they're coming. We're not expecting them, but we got to walk in them nonetheless, right? We've got to trust God in them nonetheless because he's got a perfect plan, a plan for our welfare that is good, a plan that doesn't include evil. Because sometimes we go through these things, and why did God do that to me? God didn't do it. He allowed it, maybe, because he knows better. And those are the things that we don't understand sometimes. Can we get on board with the steps that God has for us? Give him glory. Let him increase in the rewards that we have, that he promises. They come in this life, his kingdom come on earth, and they come in eternity. But we have to get on board with it. But there's a lot that's going to change for her that she's going to have to walk through that she doesn't even know about yet. But she's willing to do it. She says, God is good. God has been so good to me. And if we can do that, if we can be full of gratitude and thankfulness with God, we can get through anything. Because God is with us.